Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Brother.
Make sure it's not, oh, that's hot today. For all of you hearing aid people, I just watched you. Started doing that. They're going to hopefully adjust it down some. Maybe bring it down, because if I get real loud, it's going to blow them out. We got loud. You might try the gain on the actual box for the mic. Jeff, I don't know if it's still hooked in, how he's got it. Eddie, you might need to help with that. Give you a little bit of background. This week's been tumultuous in the life of Longview Baptist Church's audio system. But if anybody knows the 17th, going on 17th year now that I've been here, hey, there's not a time it hadn't been. Amen? That's a good thing, though. You might go, well, that's bad. That means we're doing something wrong. That's not true. And it's interesting because I had the message done for this week. And yesterday morning, about 2:30, 3 o'clock, God did a 180-degree turn spiritually, because I had spoken with someone who came to help us on Friday night with our audio system, and he had let me know that we couldn't, it was going to be a lot different, that he asked me where my mic box was, so they'd come down here and work to try to get everything at least where you could see a screen. There's no screen there. I don't know if you noticed, I was lip-syncing this morning, my songs. I'm just joking. I actually know those songs, so thankfully I didn't have to feel extremely embarrassed up here going, right? But as I was reflecting, as I was reading my Bible on yesterday morning, reflecting on the message that God would have me share, overwhelmingly, I just began to God just put this overwhelming understanding once again of the spiritual opposition that we are facing. Not only as a church, we're facing it as a nation, and church, we're facing it as a world. Spiritual opposition. What does that mean? The title of the message this morning is, what are we fighting? Some people understand that. I actually have personally no Christians right now that don't like even the concept of the supernatural spiritual warfare stuff. I know people that don't want to talk about it. They get nervous about oppression, oppressive feelings, demonic opposition to things. And I can understand that, but my reality is Scripture speaks so clearly to it. And since Jesus took back the title deed to hell, death, and the ability for us not to spend our eternity separated from God, why wouldn't we want to deal with that? Due to the fact that the more obedient you live as a follower of Christ, the more opposition spiritually you will face. We know what the Bible says, and God just overwhelmingly laid on my heart this morning what he would have me share. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, we'll go ahead and turn there to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Real quickly, I want to thank everybody who showed up yesterday to help the young lady that was in need. I know they have a few things they're going to be working on. I think some are going to go this afternoon. But please be lifting that situation up in prayer. Really appreciate the sacrifice of time that many gave. God has really showed out in that. So just pray that God uses that in a mighty way in the coming weeks, months, and years. I won't say anything about names or anything, because we're actually not even able to stream through our camera today, because evidently it smoked it good. We're actually streaming on Facebook through a phone today. So just pray that the Word of God would go forth. Now, we know it'll go forth in power, right? God's Word will accomplish what it was sent to accomplish, but just pray that there's no technical errors with it this morning, and that God would be glorified. That's what I'm so thankful for. But, you know, As you're turning there this morning, just a little bit more, I sat there and I just continued to reflect and reflect. And I remember those of you who've been at the old building, we call it the old building. Where was the old building at? Right here. I'm standing I think I'm actually standing probably where the baptismal was, or maybe on the back porch, the old building, close to somewhere in there. But in the old building, we had people who'd call them gremlins in the audio system. They're not gremlins in the audio system. It's called spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is an opposition to what you are doing to honor, to glorify. And when Christ is preeminent, when the power and the work of God is preeminent, meaning it's number one, you will face opposition. I don't know how in the American culture there was a paradigm shift, I'd say decades ago, that for some reason there was this false belief system that arose that was embraced, and if it was true, I would embrace it too. That is, if you're honoring the Lord and you're serving the Lord and you're glorifying the Lord and you're doing good things, God makes everything work out perfect. Show me in the Bible where that's it. That's not biblical. It's not scriptural. I think people take the Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, to believe that God's just going to make everything rosy and peaches. Well, if that was the case, and I was disciples, I stand in the Lord's presence to say, I got a bad rap. I got a bum rap. All but one was killed. Anybody know which one wasn't? John. They tried to kill him multiple times. God wouldn't let him get killed, and they was exiled to Patmos, with where we end up hearing John the Revelator. God laid revelation on him, and he was the one that wrote revelation while he was exiled on the island of Patmos. So this is the thing. Tonight we're going to look at the fact that not only is spiritual warfare true, real, very, very, very prevalent in this culture, it's not going to just affect Longview Baptist Church. That's what's so exciting, because see, we said, hey, when we get the new building, we're going to have all new lines. We're finally going to stop having problems with our audio. Isn't that great? How naive of us, including first and foremost myself. No longer have the rats chewed a wire halfway down, right? It's on Sunday mornings. I think they got the nibbles about halfway through the service, or they got tired of hearing my voice and were down under there trying to silence me. But see, then it starts here. When does it start? It starts from day one. And it continues. And it's as if the more people that dig in deeper, the more faithful their commitment, the more sold out, the more steadfast, the more problems we have. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you what that is in my opinion. You know when you've done something really honorable in life and you go to school, and I remember when your teacher would give you not just an A, she'd give you an A+, wow, and put a star there, or a smiley little sticker or something. Anybody like those? I did. Spiritual opposition and warfare to me is that. When the enemy's opposed to what you're doing, that is a reason to give God glory, to give him praise, and to give him honor. And I want to tell you, in your personal life right now, if everything's working out good, you better look out, because most likely you are not a threat to the enemy. Everything is a bed of roses. Everything's wonderful. Everything's taken care of. Everything's perfect. I would ask you to step back and say, are you a threat to the enemy? Are you a threat to darkness? Because what do we know about Scripture? What is one of the Scriptures I quote continually here? The book of James. It's one of the many, right? Consider it pure joy, what? When you face trials, it says, of many, or some versions say diverse kinds. Why is that important? Because that speaks to the fact that you will. It says when means it's going to be a prevalent part of your life as a follower of Jesus Christ, because we are being refined, we are being made whole. And it says that we must be complete, not lacking anything. God is growing us. He's training us. He's preparing us for what? Brothers and sisters, he's preparing us for eternal glory. So I'm excited today that we're fighting. And my question is today to all of us, what are we fighting? Are you fighting God's call in your life? God called you into ministry, maybe. God's called you to a deeper, more intimate fellowship with Him. Maybe you're fighting that. God's called you to excise, remove, compromise in your life. These things that are hindering you from growing in your walk with Christ. Hey, is God challenging you today, man, to be a more committed, faithful husband to your family? Maybe there's bowling league, what do they call them? You know, your hobbies. And your hobbies are preventing you from being the husband that God has called you to be. Wives, maybe that guy is more frustrating than you ever thought when you signed up for it. You never signed up for the frustration that you're now enduring. And maybe you've battled a little bit of bitterness and maybe a little frustration with God. And maybe God's calling you today to remember something you need to love. We need to love as Christ loved the church. All of us. Whether I know the scriptural call for that is for guys, but also we know that in the Bible, love is of God. Amen? And that love that we love each other with is not a love that is compelled by human factors. It's a love that's given by God. So today, whatever you're fighting, maybe today you're just fighting the good fight. And I hope today encourages you to stand firm, steadfastly in the faith that was entrusted to you and I. And that we do not get deceived, because we know, as we spoke about this morning in our prayer time, God, that we might not be deceived. We know what Scripture talks about. Anybody can be deceived. Don't just think, well, that's for somebody who's heard the truth. That's for somebody that hadn't become. I assure you this morning, that also applies to followers of Christ. God, hold me fast. Hold me fast in the loving arms of Christ Jesus. God, hold me fast through the Holy Spirit's power and presence. Lord, restrain my passions, my battle with the sinful nature, the proclivities of my heart, Lord. They can become unhinged at a moment's notice, Lord. My fight is not against flesh and blood, Lord, but against principalities, rulers, dark forces in the heavenly realms. But I pray today, though, that the fight you are in is a fight as you defend and contend for the faith and anything else that God wants to do today. My greatest joy would be in seeing you lay down these things that are hindering your ability to run the race faithfully, and that you would commit to that plan and purpose that God has for your life today. Hope you found Ephesians chapter 6. Again, we'll look at verses 10 through 13. And if you're physically able this morning, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Father, thank you, Lord, this morning for this privilege we have to worship you. Lord, this privilege we have to read your word, to hear your word. Father, hedge this building, these grounds with your protective angels. Purge anything that would not honor or glorify you, Lord, so that you alone are the sole focus of everything said and done today. Father, I pray that your Spirit would move in hearts, not only in this building, but online. Father, the word of God would clearly shake hearts, foundations of lives, Father, that they would be transformed by the renewing of their mind today. There's ones that do not know you as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray today would be the day of salvation, not only here, but all over the globe in assemblies just like this, that the word would be clearly proclaimed and that ones would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, so that you alone may do what only you can do. And we ask this in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Wanted to start with verse 12, and then we'll just wrap back around Because this kind of just lays out first this battlefield that we're on. And again, listen to verse 12. It says, "For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens." Leads the first thing that I want to share with you this morning, and it just directly applies to our sound system. The battle with our sound system is a spiritual warfare battle. Now, okay, Brother Jonathan, you told me it's a spiritual warfare battle. How do we counter that? Glad you asked. I'm going to ask you to do some homework this week. I want you to get in Ephesians 6 because I don't have the time this morning to go into, especially with us having Lord's Supper. But I want you to read about the spiritual weapons of warfare that we have. They're not carnal, meaning they're not earthly. That's why it said earthly. Hey, our battle's not against flesh and blood. What it's saying is our battle's not against these people next to you. It's not against your wife, your husband, your friends, your neighbors. No, this is a spiritual thing. When you have somebody that you love and dearly adore that comes up and you're like, what in the world they just say to me? And you want to rear back and pop them in the mouth because they deserve a popping in the mouth. Stop. Step back. Reflect on what just happened. Do you know many times the enemy can, even in a solid believer, can externally oppress us, especially at a time of weakness, to say or do something that we would not naturally or normally do. And sometimes they don't even realize they said it or did it. You and I are wanting to come unglued and unhinged and potentially ruin a friendship and a relationship, not recognizing Scripture calls us to forgive a bunch of times. How about that? Put it in layman's terms. We're so easy to hold the offenses against us, but yet we'll not extend the forgiveness we expect others to extend to us and grace. Ever thought of that? I've seen and I've experienced this, people that have begged for forgiveness in others' lives and for others to extend forgiveness that I've watched those same people never extend anyone else. They expect all this grace and all this mercy and all this forgiveness, but yet themselves never do the same. So easy to see when others offend us, but yet so hard. We know what Scripture talks about. We're looking around, getting a speck out of someone else's eye when there's a log hanging out of our own. Very important, though, but this is what we're dealing with this time, because those things that get said, we get so bent out of shape and broken. Why? Wait a second, step back. What's this battle against? You ever thought about, you know, do what I do. Give yourself about 24 hours when something happens to you before you respond to it. You know why? Because a lot of times by the next day, it's not going to mean half as much as it did the day before, but also it's going to give you a time to pray about it and to put it in perspective and say, God, I wonder if this was spiritual warfare. I wonder if they never even meant to say what they said, especially when it comes to a text. Wow, I couldn't believe the way you look today. Meaning, wow, I couldn't believe the way you look today. I couldn't believe the way you look today. I promise you, 99.999% of the people in this building, you read it as, I can't believe you looked the way you did today. As opposed to giving the benefit of the doubt, wow, I can't believe the way you look today. Meaning, you look gorgeous. You look beautiful. Why are we waiting to be offended? Why are we sitting around waiting for someone to make us mad and give us a right to act in a way we shouldn't have acted anyways, but we want an excuse to act how we shouldn't act? Why is that? Church is spiritual warfare at its fundamental basic level. It is that we all still battle a sin nature, and if we're not careful, we will sit around waiting to be the unmerciful servant. So thankful we've been forgiven a lifetime of wages, but yet so easily ready to choke someone for a day's wage, as that parable shares with us. See, this picture of what's happened with our sound systems, a picture of what happens in our lives. Spiritual warfare, see things for what they are, but more importantly, pray about it that God give us a spiritual perspective on the matter. You want a good way to affect the audio and video? How many people are truly, seriously praying over this ministry? If you remember, wasn't it 2 weeks ago that I compelled the body of Christ? If you were here and remember, I said, please be praying about this. Some ministry, I think I did it in closing, if I remember correctly. And I encouraged everyone here. It might have been last Sunday morning. Is that when I did it? Is anybody paying attention? I hope somebody heard it. Okay. Is it ironic that I hope at least one or two people did, that we would have had an attack on it after we specifically prayed that God would bless that ministry, strengthen and encourage the people in charge of it, operating in the gifts that God has blessed them with? Isn't that ironic? You might go, wait a minute, Brother Jonathan, shouldn't that have made it not happen? Are you kidding me? So we're praying that God helps us get to work without any delays, and we get a flat tire and we're mad at God, not realizing that was the very thing that God did to protect us from getting killed by a drunk driver or an errant vehicle or an errant animal. And we're furious because we think that God didn't answer, when in reality he answered better than we could have ever imagined him answering. He protected us supernaturally, and we're sitting over here in essence cursing him under our breaths because we don't understand how God could have allowed this to happen to me. I think if we start seeing things through the spiritual lens, what do? Instead of, I can't believe you looked so different today. We start reading that. You look so different today. What's wrong with you? Not, hey, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? We read inflections in those, but we also many times read the answers to a prayer we don't even realize we prayed, coming in a form that we didn't like because we didn't recognize that there was so much more into it than we could have even dreamed of. How about looking at step, that's why I say step back. God, give me the ability to see things through the eyes that you do. Lord, let me read those texts, you ready? With grace first. If somebody was trying to offend me, Lord, let me be so tone deaf that I have to have them say it in person because I don't read offensively into things. I want to read everything with grace, Lord, so that I don't run around half-cocked all the time, ready to fight somebody and ready to break fellowship with somebody and ready to straighten them up. No, Lord, let me see them through the eyes of Christ. Lord, when I'm praying for the sound system and it gets struck by lightning, let me give God glory. Because either God had no idea it was going to happen, or God just said, let's zap him, let's mess him up a while. No, maybe this was a reason that God this morning wanted me to share this with you, because it affects all of us in one way or another. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God's bigger than all of this stuff, and I love the fact that God knows the big picture. God has a reason, a plan, and a purpose for even allowing something like that, that our first indication is believing, oh, look, the enemy's attacking us. What the enemy means for bad, God will use for his glory and good. See, that's the truth that I know this morning. But is that the truth that you live in your life, or is everything suspicion? Is everything suspect? Is everything some big, in a sense, conspiracy theory? We got to be careful, because that's what the tendency for the human side of us, it does tend to do. And we got to be careful because we can end up in a place where our mind, our attitudes, our actions do not glorify and honor the Lord. And I pray this morning it would not be the place that we end up meditating on, dwelling on, or spending any amount of time in. See, verse 12, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, not against people. We can't see this battle that's right now. Church, I'm just going to tell you right now, if we could see what was going on around us, we would absolutely soil ourselves and go crawl up under somewhere and hide. You don't realize the spiritual battle that is going on all around us. It's warfare, church. Do you think God just said that because it sounded pretty? Have you ever thought of what a warrior angel? Remember when David counted the fighting men and all those thousands upon thousands of people were killed? Can you imagine the sword of God of judgment? I'm not talking about a protective in the protection sense, but the sword of God being against us. It's like one of those old movies when they say you can run, but you can't hide. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the spiritual dynamic of that when we are praying that God's strength, His power, His protection? Can you imagine the warfare that's going on as the enemy wants nobody in here to hear anything? He wants us distracted about some foolish thing that doesn't matter, whether it's an argument with a husband and a wife, whether it's some foolish thing at work that, by the way, won't even matter a week from now, much less the day that we stand in God's presence and give an account for our lives. No, He wants us focused right now on something that is inconsequential. It means absolutely nothing, so that we hear nothing, we never receive anything, we never apply that to our lives, and we continue a life of apathy, indifference, and I'm just overwhelmed with everything and everyone, so that we're completely ineffective to do the kingdom work that God has created us to do. I don't want that. Again, what I said earlier, do not be deceived. That we might not be deceived. Deceived into believing that we're a perpetual victim of life, of God at times, right? God, you know, Lord, I'm doing all I should do, and look what happens to me. Well, wait a minute, why not glorify God? Because evidently He's given you and I what we're supposed to have, right? He promises to supply all of our needs, so why in the world will we grumble to God and believe that that's going to be an attitude that God's going to bless? Our fight is not against flesh and blood. How many times you hear somebody go, I can't believe God would do that. I can't believe that God wouldn't have stopped that. My first thing is, wait a second, what are you doing? In the Garden of Eden, what are you trying to say? God, I just wish they hadn't eaten of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. God gave them free will. The same way God's given us free will. So how about a little personal responsibility? Do you know what that is? Foreign concept in our culture. Personal responsibility says, wait a second. Okay, let's say we did not do what we're supposed to do with the system. We pulled all the wires out of the old church, put some duct tape around it, ran them in there again, and then we don't understand why in the world God would allow to happen what was happening. That's a different story, isn't it? You go into your coworkers and you have a bad attitude, and then you don't understand why in the world nobody wants to come visit your church. Why no one wants to invite you to their Bible study, or no one wants to spend time with you, but you don't have a clue. Why in the world no one wants to be near you? Does anybody want to get near a septic tank or a porta potty in the summertime? When our attitude stinks, church, that person's not going to want to be near you. They're not going to want to spend time with you. And if you don't understand why, we need to talk. Because we have personal responsibility to recognize. Is there anybody in here that goes, you know, I just love to spend time with people that are perpetually negative. Everything is always negative. There's not a positive thing that's ever come out of their mouth. Everything is always, woe is me. I can't believe why it happens to me. Nothing ever good. If you ever share something with them, they trump you by saying, oh, your car broke down. Oh, my house caught on fire last week. And there's one bigger thing that always goes on, and they never hear what you even say. Has you ever had anybody do that to you? Y'all scared? Do you like to spend time with people like that? Why? Because it's like a spiritual drag in its weight. We know Scripture says the joy of the Lord is my strength. There's a spiritual warfare battle that goes on with us. You've been called to minister to people that have attitudes like that, but if you have one of those type attitudes and wonder why people don't want to spend time with you, step back. Would I want to spend time with myself? If the answer is, I probably wouldn't, how about we step back and say, maybe there's a spiritual warfare battle that I've been losing. I've been so overwhelmed and taken in negativity that people don't want to spend time and don't want to hang out with me because I've become rather toxic. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I hope that's your thought process this morning, because if it is, you can rejoice in anything. In all things, give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning who? You and me. That's what God says. That's what his word says. 1 Thessalonians, we know it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In all things, give thanks. So I give thanks for the sound system getting smoked this week, because I know God has a purpose and a plan for it, and what the enemy means for bad, God's going to use for good. And I have to look at the flat tire that way, the blown up motor, the whatevers that are going to happen in our lives. We have to first look at it, and we have to, by default, it's not something that happens, to do that by our human default. We have to program ourselves in our spiritual nature to make that our default, because if not, we will default to the broken default, the flesh man default. Flesh man default, something you don't want on parade. Amen? You do not want that. You want to keep that suppressed. You want to feed the spirit man, because which one is going to grow bigger? The one you feed. Why do you hear your pastor week in and week out? I literally say it ad nauseum, meaning till it nauseates you. How many times can he say it? Not enough. If I stood up here the whole time and reiterated the reality of, you got to read God's word if you want to walk in the fullness of Christ, if you want to live in the fullness of Christ, you have to do that. And if you don't, you're going to have the tendency to walk in the flesh. You're not going to hear God speak to your heart. You're not going to hear God speak to the battles, the struggles, the hurts, the fears, the failures. That's why it's so imperative to read the Bible. When? Every single day. Anybody in here have a red Bible? Well, Thomas Shue will ask that. So you got three? Four? We got a problem, because the rest of y'all have unread Bibles. Amen? So now you understand. When somebody asks you that, say, absolutely, I have a red Bible. It's not an unread Bible. But if you don't have a red Bible, you got problems. You're never going to see anything in the spiritual dimension the way that it's supposed to be seen. You are going to be in a spiritual battle that you are ill-equipped for. What is the most vital part of this? I'm going to give you one part of the spiritual armor this morning. We have one of the parts in the spiritual weapons of our warfare that we've been given spiritually that is offensive. The rest of those are all defensive, meaning they're all things to defend us from the enemy's attack. We have one that we can fight offensively with. Sword of the Spirit. What can you fight with that you ain't picked up? And by the way, you can't put the rest of them on if you don't get in here. You want to know why you're getting whipped, smacked, wrapped up, and laid out day after day after day after day, and you just don't understand because you pray. That's all you ever do is pray. Exactly. You're going to tell Dad what you want, but you won't dare let him speak to you. And whenever you get serious about spiritual warfare, you're going to pick this up, because you're going to realize you can tell your father all you want to tell him, but until you're willing to hear him speak to your life, you're never going to find victory. You're never going to find answers. You're never going to find the place that he designed you to fulfill in your life. Before the foundations of the world, he had a plan for your life and for my life. That's what the scripture says. So what do you want this morning? To keep living in failure or live in victory? It will never happen if you don't get in his presence. Number one, in his word, and number two, pray it in. Pray it in before you read, pray it in as you read, and pray it in after you read, and continue. Make your life a prayer to Him, literally from sunup till sundown. When you get up in the middle of the night, as you get older, you get up in the middle of the night. It's an interesting phenomenon, kids, you'll find out about one day. Pray the moment you get up, and pray until you fall back asleep. It's ironic how I used to struggle with some insomnia. I don't have any trouble with that anymore. Not only do I go to sleep within 5 minutes of laying down, anybody in my family will attest to that. If I get up in the middle of the night, I used to stay awake sometimes for hours. Started praying at night whenever I'd get up. And it's amazing how prayer works like an overdose of melatonin, but doesn't leave you with a hungover feeling. Praise God, amen? And you're like, Lord, I didn't even get to finish my prayer. You think God is upset about that? I would assume not. I think what God does is He honors your faithful, steadfast desire to be in His presence with sweet sleep. That's what I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Listen to verses 10 and 11 again. So finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. Good word. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. Ladies, the second thing I want to share with you this morning is this. Our weakness is God's strength to fight spiritual warfare. So when you look at this, it says, finally, be strengthened. What does that statement allude to, inferring? It's inferring that we are not strengthened. So we must be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. And then it encourages at that point, then in the spiritual armor, which is the blessing of God that He is giving His people, His children, to stand firm. And what's so powerful about that is, it's you got this full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. It doesn't even, it's not even really speaking at that point to attacks. It's saying the tactics. So we can see, we're able to discern when He's coming to attack. We can discern motives and motivations spiritually. We as Christians can have good motivations and someone may not have good motivations. Do you realize that spiritual discernment is a blessing of God? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I hope so. You're in trouble. Spiritual discernment is a blessing and a gift of God and from God. And you've got to understand there's major, major declarations of war that the enemy declares on a daily basis. But we have declarations in Christ who we have been bought and paid for, redeemed, filled with the Holy Spirit, able to get in God's Word. Imagine what that declaration of faith in Christ Jesus and obedient yielding to the power of God is going to do to the declarations of war from the enemy. It's going to be like Gideon when they went out there to fight. And what did He whittle them down to with that big battle? 300 people. Midianite camp was decimated. Amen? The power of God, the sword of the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, truth, church. Truth is what you and I need this morning more than anything. See, our weakness is God's strength to fight spiritual warfare. And those who take notes, write down 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. I say this a lot because it's such a picture of God's power is made perfect in weakness. That's why I boast in my infirmities, my persecutions, my weaknesses, for when I'm weak, He is strong. Listen to verse 13. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having prepared everything to take your stand. Let me read it slower. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything to take your stand. Who in this building could go that's never been in military service today and be deployed with a Marine group that's doing an early entry into a hostile country? Does anybody know how that would end? I'll just tell you this, it'd be nasty. Not for them, for you. Why? Because you're not trained and you're not prepared. Now, sadly and scarily, I think the implications of that are that so many believers don't even recognize the danger spiritually of not being prepared for the war that you are going to be in every single day. Maybe we just don't think it's that big of a deal, you know, because I got saved, I prayed this prayer, and, you know, I'm just going to wave my handkerchief that I got off one of those TV stations because I made a donation, and they said that all I had to do is wave that thing anytime I wanted victory, and I'm just going to get me two of them, and I'm just going to wave I'm going to wave a banner of victory everywhere I go. Okay. Have at it. By the way, don't invite me to your party. Because I know that a party of disobedience ends in great pain. Now, if you want to get in God's Word, and you want to get in prayer, and you want to pray over and pray for whatever these battles you're facing, I'm with you until the death march. But I will not be a part of praying God's blessing on your disobedience. Because do you realize that if you're, let's say you're in this building and you've not been in the Word, you've not been in prayer, and you come and say, hey, Brother Jonathan, I'm facing some big trials right now. I'm sick, and I just want you to pray that God would make everything okay. But you don't tell us that you haven't been in the Word. You don't know how long it's been since you prayed. You didn't say any of that. You just ask everybody to come over and go into God's presence with you for victory. You showed up at a war naked. What are you fighting this morning? If first and foremost it's fundamental obedience, do what I just said a minute ago, get honest. How about get brutally honest with somebody? Sit down with them and say, listen, I want whatever we talk about to stay in this room. I hadn't been in prayer. I hadn't been in the Bible. And I'm about as spiritual as a statue's pinky toe. You know that I can work with that? And I mean that. Why do you say? Because I know where we're at. I know how to pray then. I know how to get others praying. And I know how to walk with you, especially if you're desiring to repent and to walk in the fullness of Christ. But you know what I can't do? When you are living a lie and you have a mask on and you're shouting glory, hallelujah, but you're bowing to the Baal prophets, basically, the old Baal gods. I can't. I can't fight that. This morning, what are you fighting? If you're fighting fundamental obedience, why don't you just get honest about it? I have such respect for one of our brothers in Christ about 5 years ago, came in and said exactly what I said earlier, said, literally just said, I'm as unspiritual. I feel as spiritual as nothing right now. I don't want to pray. I don't want to read. I don't want to do nothing. And I thanked him for his honesty. And you know what? We walked through this brother with that. And today he's as solid could ever be. I didn't look at him and go, I can't believe you. What are you even here for? The tendency in the human self, right, to say that, but who are we to say that? If somebody's going to be honest and you ask for honesty, you better be willing to not only receive it, but walk with them. That's what I want to hear. I desire that. Not that somebody tells me that they are completely as unspiritual could ever be and that they are struggling big time, but that's the kind of honesty that you have in order to move forward and grow spiritually. Because you know what the battle is, you know what the battlefield is, and we can proactively, spiritually pray and intercede on behalf of someone who's in a real deep, dark struggle. Because I can assure you, I don't care who you are in here, including myself. There are very deep valleys that we will go through in our lifetimes. Doesn't mean you're any less spiritual than anybody else in here. And if you think that a person that goes through that is, oh, God, have mercy on you, because God's going to teach you a painful lesson. We have all been made by the dust of Adam, amen? Saved by the grace and mercy of Christ Jesus. We're still battling this old sinful flesh that we're not wanting to feed, that rears its ugly head at times, and By the restraining grace and mercy of Christ Jesus, we're not consumed by ourselves. I'm so thankful today for the precious gift of salvation through Christ Jesus. And the third and final thing I want to share is this. We will fight battles. Victory only happens with obedience to the battle plan. And am I questioning, what's your battle plan? Are you even in the battle today? Or are you so being whipped over and over again because you hadn't even joined the battle in the first place? I can promise you, we're going to be fighting a spiritual battle until we enter God's presence one day, and we go from salvation, sanctification, if you're here and you're a believer, will end one day and culminate in glorification, which means to be transported into God's presence. And that's where we are longing for this morning. Amen? Longing for. What are you fighting? You're not going to get victory if you don't follow God's battle plan. And I hope you wrote down this morning, Ephesians 6, weapons. And I hope you spend a little time this week meditating on these weapons of a warfare. Are you even putting them on? Remember, it doesn't say just ask and God will put them on. No, it says we have to put on armor. You don't stand there and then the armor jump on itself, does it? The same way that growth in our walk with Christ doesn't happen because we sit around just willing it into being without any overt actions of our will. It doesn't happen, church. You can sit that communion cup on a Bible in front of you and balance it on the pew in front of you and stand there and say, I'm going to will that to open and pour in my mouth. You'll be here when we get back Wednesday. You'll be here when we get back the next Sunday. And by the way, you'll be here till you die. You have to make the conscious choice, right, to pick it up and to decide to peel the top open and decide to pour it in. God has given us free will, church. Are you this morning struggling because the depth of your relationship you wish was like so-and-so? You wish you walked with the Lord like so-and-so? You wish you had the spiritual insight of so-and-so? Then let me encourage you to do something. Go after it like nothing else. Scripture says, delight yourself in Him and He will give you the desires of your heart. If you are going after Him, when you seek Him with all your heart, Scripture promises, He will be found. But you must walk in obedience and follow the plan that God's Word gives us, or we'll never experience walking in the fullness of Christ. Church, this morning, spiritual warfare, it's a promise. Putting on the full armor of God so that you will stand, donning the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Look at Jesus in the temptation narrative. One scripture after another, Jesus filleted the enemy, spiritually speaking, with the Word of God and the power of God. That is such a demonstration of Jesus walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, using God's Word as the attack weapon to stand firm. And guess what he did? Even after a fast of 40 days, can you imagine how physically, spiritually, and emotionally weak you'd be? But he was showing us, even in our weakness, the power of God is made perfect in that weakness. What are you fighting this morning? What is your battle? What is your battlefield? What are you doing? And what are you expecting? You're not doing the basic fundamental truths of God's Word and spending time in His presence, seeking His face, delighting yourself in Him. Why are you still saying you expect to walk in the fullness of Christ? When something happens on the way to work or at home with one of your appliances, and let's say you're completely yielded to the Lord, walking in the fullness of Christ, you're in His presence, and you, why in the world would God? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. God, reveal to me, help me understand what You're doing through this so I can be obedient to do what it is that you're compelling me to do through this, whether it's trust, growing my faith, whether you're going to use this for me to minister to the person at the appliance store, the person that delivers it. God, I realize, pray, God, thank you that you allowed my appliances to get struck for your glory. When you say that in the store, somebody will want to talk to you because they're going to make sure they don't need to get the police to put you and get a little trust point time. But imagine the opportunity to minister because you tell the appliance salesman, I praise God, he allowed my dishwasher to get struck by lightning this week. What? Yes. Well, I'm a Christian, but I don't understand what you just said. Well, I trust what the Word says, and all things work together for good, so God's got a purpose for this and a reason for it. By the way, how are you walking and clicking with Christ? Imagine being able to encourage another brother in Christ by a testimony and a declaration of God's goodness. Wait a minute, Brother Jonathan, that's not a declaration of... Yes, it is. Because you know the fundamental basic promises of God that nothing happens to us that's outside of His knowledge, allowance, or control. So if you are yielded in obedience to Him and that happens, you can rejoice knowing that He's got it all under control. Church, I ask you, who are you fighting this morning? Are you fighting the power of God, the person of God? Are you engaged in spiritual warfare, fighting a battle that's not against flesh and blood, but of principalities, rulers, dark forces in the heavenly realms? That's the arena you need to be in and we need to be in. We don't need to be over in an arena where we're getting beat up because of our disobedience. This morning, I close by asking, who are you fighting? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the goodness of the gospel, Lord. Father, for your faithfulness. Oh Lord, thank you for this scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, God, that speaks to the beauty of all that we face in the spiritual warfare realm, recognizing, Lord, it's a total demonstration, Lord, of the threat we pose to the enemy and his minions. God, thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that gives us discernment, gives us wisdom, gives us conviction. Father, thank you for your word that allows you to speak to our hearts, Father, as your Spirit affirms, leads us, and guides us in accordance with your word and your plan. Father, thank you this morning, Lord, that as you changed this so drastically just a little over 24 hours ago and what I thought I was going to say, God, thank you that you lead us and guide us and direct us perfectly into your plan and will for our life. Father, I pray that each one of us in this building would walk not by sight but by faith, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, realizing that you're the one that knows. You're the architect, you're our God, you're our King. Lord, we just praise you this morning for your goodness. Lord, thank you for our sound system getting attacked this week, Lord, because we know you have a reason and a purpose for it. And what the enemy meant for bad, Lord, we know that you're going to use for good, and we glorify your name because of that. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, for whatever it is, Lord, that you want to do in our hearts, that not only have you spoken to us, but we would be obedient, Lord, this morning during the invitation to do whatever it is, God, that you're leading us or compelling us to do. I pray for those that may be watching online this morning that don't know you as Lord and Savior. They don't even have a clue what that spiritual battle is in the first place, but today they are desperately aware that they are lost and without hope, separated from you. They're a sinner in need of a Savior. Father, if the Holy Spirit has affirmed that and helped them understand their need for a Savior and them recognizing that Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God that died in their place, rose from the grave on the third day, and right now is seated at your right hand, I pray that during this invitation, today would be the day of salvation where they would recognize that need, profess faith in Jesus Christ, and come to saving faith in Jesus. Lord, we commit this time to you. Whatever it is, Lord, that you want to do, you have your way in this midst. And we ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.